Okay, call to order the Wednesday, December 13th, 2023 regular board of directors meeting. It is 4:02 p.m. You'll all stand, join in the flag salute. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mission statement. The mission statement, Big Bear mission statement, the Big Bear Airport District serves the Big Bear Valley by providing a safe, efficient, and exceptional venue for aviation operations. Number three is roll call and introductions. Patty, you can roll call and introductions, please.
Members present, please signify by saying aye. President Siebert.
Aye.
Vice President Lindstrom.
Here.
Director Castile.
Aye.
Director Hicks.
Aye.
Director Smith.
Aye.
Others present include General Manager Ryan Goss, Administration Manager Abby Erickson, and myself, Board Secretary Patty Lopez. We welcome members of the public.
Thank you, Patty. Number four is approval of agenda.
No changes from staff.
Directors, any changes?
I am going to need to leave partway through the meeting. I don't know if that's something that we need to change with the agenda.
I don't think so, Director Smith. I think that what are you going to be able to participate in, and then when are you going to need to leave?
I'm going to need to leave before you start the emergency. I can stay and participate with the board reorganization.
Okay. And then we'll just make a note on the agenda or on the minutes when you depart the meeting.
Right. And I understand that I can participate as a member of the public by listening in once I formally leave the meeting.
Yes.
Okay. So I will call in separately once I've done that.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Public comments. A person wishing to comment on an agenda item should come to the podium, wait for the president to recognize them unless otherwise provided for a specific item. All comments are limited to 3 minutes each with an overall of 15, total of 15 minutes. No speaker may allot their time to others. Comments on agenda items. Comments concerning matters agenda will be heard at the time the matter is considered. Comments on non-agenda items. Comments concerning matters not on the agenda will be heard during the public comments section of the agenda. A speaker's comment should be within the subject matter jurisdiction of the Big Bear Airport District. Please note that if you're addressing the board on items not on the agenda, the Brown Act does not allow board discussion of such items because they are not on the agenda and thus were not publicly noticed or notified publicly. Therefore, the board may only do the following: refer the matter to staff, ask for additional information or request a report back, or give a limited factual response. Your comments may be placed on the agenda for future discussion. At this time, do we have any public comments on non-agenda items?
That's probably so I didn't go away.
Well, we hope not.
So I put together a package for all you guys to review on what happened in the airplanes and what has occurred and the damages. I hope you guys can just kind of take a look at it. We can put it on next month's agenda. Maybe get some answers, and I'm not looking for a lot. I think it's only fair that you guys look at it and review it. I've got quite a bit of paperwork here.
Happy to do so.
So I don't know.
Brian will disperse it to us.
Okay.
Thank you. Files.
And then I do have one other item. I can briefly touch that, and that would be the taxing on the hangars. We did end up having to pay that other tax because we were going to get penalized
on, well, I can't talk about it,
on the one I'm in now. I paid tax on the hangar G, and then now I pay tax on hangar A or X3, right? That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Now, the only way that those people are getting that information is as soon as somebody moves in that hangar, you're telling them we got somebody in there. I mean, so it's, you know, I don't know what you guys can do about it, but maybe we'll put that on the agenda for next month, too, that we need to review how you guys are, you know, isn't it at the beginning of the year the tax collector gets told who's in what hangar?
We can't talk about it.
Okay.
But you and I, we discussed that over the phone. So,
but it comes down to me now. She paid the tax bill Monday.
We'll talk offline.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I always have an open door, so you could have come in and talked.
I know, but you know, I'm busy. You're busy.
Our names on responsibility.
I totally understand, Gina. I get it. Yeah. But we talked about it, and you know, I thought it was remedied. Because we didn't hear it. They never called you?
Nope. Nobody called.
No. Okay.
So there's your answer.
Okay.
Well, guys, just know that you're not the only one.
Yeah.
I know, but it's a mess. It is a mess. You know?
And Reno County tax assessor.
But without them getting notified from this airport, that's the only way they're getting the information, who to pay, who has to pay taxes.
So I'm allowed to briefly talk about it without a lot of detail, but we haven't changed the way we disseminate info to the county in the last 25 years. It's been the same exact way. The problem lies in the county because they have new people within the special property department that don't understand what they're doing. So I promise you what we are doing is what we have done since day one, because I've been a part of the assessing since I've been here. Okay. So nothing has changed. It's how they pull it through. And we're talking internally how we can change that.
Okay.
Because what happened to you is not fair. And I'm telling you because of the conversations I've had with the county. So, right. You know, I will work on it. Okay. I promise you.
I mean, it wasn't an exorbitant amount of money.
It's to the point.
And it's not the money.
It's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, rest assured, I will try to come up with a solution to it. But, you know, this is the first time that this has happened in all the years that I've worked here.
So, thanks for your clarity.
You got basically taxed from both hangars within the same.
Right? Yes.
Hangars, when I moved to July 1st is when evidently everybody gets informed so-and-so is in that hangar, right?
January 1st.
Okay, January 1st. Yes. But then when I got my airplane back, I said, there's no way. I'm putting my hangar in there or my airplane in there again. So Ryan was nice enough to put me in a little one. And then now I'm over by you, right?
Right.
I mean, I could have got taxed on that 1D too for 1 month.
And that same paperwork went in just as X3 did, but they didn't catch you. Yeah. So
I could have had three.
Whoever's in the hangar January 1st is responsible for that year's worth of tax. Because of the time that Mr. Hogendyke moved into the hangar, they threw him a bill in the middle of the year, their fiscal year, not the calendar year.
There's where it is, the fiscal thing,
yeah.
And January 1st.
Which the documents that were provided by Mr. Hogendyke and Mrs. Hogendyke showed that the legal owner was the previous tenant, but he got billed for it. I had the assessors and the tax collector both say that they made the mistake, and from the manager, they were supposed to call him the day that I reached out to you guys, and they never did. So we will get to the bottom of it however we need to.
All right, let's go get to.
I know.
That's our actual response.
Okay, thanks you guys.
Yeah, appreciate it.
I just want to make a comment on the packages that we are submitting today. I waited till the last minute today to print our letter to all of you. And when it printed, it didn't print the way I wanted it to. That was a little bit.
So don't be offended.
Please. Right. But we wanted to submit it today and just get things going.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. You work so hard at sound when you put print.
I know.
God.
Did I do it right?
Are we good?
We are. Happy holidays to all of you.
Thank you. Okay, any other public comments?
Fine.
Okay, special presentations and proclamations. There are none. Big Bear Airport Pilots Association.
Yeah. What we have to say is that tomorrow is our Christmas holiday hangar and the party of the ultimate people. Everybody signed in, show up. That's done. I think we turned five.
It's where the Elks one. Ducks one. Down by the building.
Yeah.
I was with the Elks and the Moose. Sorry. We have
Josh Turney's.
They were there when we added the Santana Baptist. They're real.
Yeah, that was the singers. This is the strings.
Oh, the strings.
Okay. We had singers last year.
That was great.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Consent agenda 10.1 approval of draft minutes, pages 4 and 5.
Not on the consent agenda.
Okay. Well, motion to approve. You need a motion, right? To approve that?
Yep. I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda, including 7.1 approval of draft minutes and 7.1A regular board meeting, November 8th, 2023. And
7.2 financial reports, October 2022.
You have a second?
I'll second. Director Castillo moved to accept the consent agenda as written to include regular board meeting minutes of November 8, 2023, and accept the year-to-date financial reports. Director Lindstrom seconded the motion. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
A motion to approve the minutes of the regular board meeting of Wednesday, November 8, 2023, and to accept the year-to-date financial reports was passed with all members present voting aye.
Okay, number 8 is pulled as consent agenda items. There were none. And number 9 is business matters. 9.1, reorganization of the board secretary will explain the process of nomination and election for the president. Seat, no second is required for nomination. Patty?
Yes, so I will do that. Election of board president will be conducted by myself, and the election of the vice president will be conducted by the new elected board president. And I call for nominations from the directors for the selection of the president of the board.
I would like to nominate.
Go ahead.
I'd like to nominate Director Castillo.
Okay. Any other nominations?
Director Smith nominated Director Castillo for the position of president of the board. And I'm going to do a roll call. Please signify by saying aye or no.
Can we just do it by affirmation? I think that would be better. Rather than vote.
Well, because we have somebody via teleconference, we need to know her vote as well.
Director Castillo?
Aye.
Director Hish?
Aye.
Director Lindstrom?
Aye.
Director Seifert?
Aye.
Director Smith?
Aye.
Okay.
No swearing,
but you'll have to just, why don't you go ahead and do the vice president? And we can just run the meeting from that seat nave for now.
And congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Julie. Do I do it or does Rick do it?
No, you do it. You're the president.
All right, so now we will call for nomination of the vice president. I would like to nominate Rick Seifert.
Just traded seat.
5-6, 1-8-6.
Any other nominations? Yeah.
Okay, and I will take any other nominations. I will do a roll call. Director Castillo?
Aye.
Director Hicks?
No.
Director Lindstrom?
Aye.
Director Seifert?
Aye.
And Director Smith?
Aye.
Okay. Director Seifert is the vice president.
And just note that Director Hicks voted an A. Okay.
And before you start the next business item, I will absent myself, but I will call in and be in it as a participant.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie.
Good luck. Okay, item 9.2, presentation of the Big Bear Airport Emergency Operation Plan, pages 18 through 40. General Manager Goss.
All right, at the last Board of Directors meeting, Director Hicks and Director Smith asked to be able to review our emergency operations plan. So attached, starting on page 18, through 40 is essentially the narrative of the plan itself. There's a lot more to the plan that is proprietary to the district, and unfortunately we will not make that stuff public. It's basically has a lot to do with phone numbers and spreadsheets of phone numbers and how to get a hold of some of the higher people that don't want their phone numbers loose.
That's why there's a lot of black.
Yeah, within this. And then, as you can see, this is 40 pages, but I brought mine. And you can see that there's a considerable amount more of documents mm-hmm. within this that I didn't want to make public. So as you can see, the first part of the page or the plan is the narrative of it. And then it goes into specific items within the plan for different types of incidences, from aircraft incidents and accidents to natural disasters, which, yeah. So it has to encompass a lot of the different stuff that we are going to deal with. And, you know, the airport's going to be a place where we're going to be bringing supplies in. During last year's storm that we had, the airport was used a few times to bring supplies in for the inmate crews that were working on clearing houses. But essentially, everything is, there probably could be more. You could always add more to it. But for the most part, I think this encompasses what the airport would kind of be challenged with in the event something happens. But I would entertain any kind of questions or anything from there. We did, when this was brought up, we revisited this and we did update some of the phone numbers and some of the points of contact. Yeah, so we wanted to make sure that we had that information correct. So,
questions? Yeah. I appreciate getting this on. Would have liked to have seen the entire plan so we could, you know, better understand what's there. I do have some concerns about the plan. In the more extensive documents you have, Ryan, who do you show the president of the board signing off on the plan?
No.
See, under Cal OSHA, or not Cal OSHA, the Office of Emergency Services, the elected authority or the appointing authority is required to approve the plan. And based on what that you presented us with, while it does have a lot of information,
it does not appear to meet the requirements of the LOECS requirement. And this is especially important as it relates to funding. You know, if we have to call in support assistance, if we don't meet the outline as provided by the state, then we will find ourselves out of pocket and have to fund this stuff ourselves. The other couple other things, I'm not sure why we're not referenced in this plan at all. I mean, if nothing else, based on what you provided us, if nothing else, the president should be listed here as one of the main contacts in this plan. You know, again, I think it's critical that we understand that this board is an integral part of this airport. And as such, we are in a decision-making mode. So as it relates to this plan, we should be identified in this plan. You talk about key responsibilities. I'm trying to figure out why we have the city manager of Big Bear Lake as one of the key responsibilities on this plan. We are a county organization.
We are not a county organization.
Understand where I'm going with this next line. We are a county organization located within the county. Yes, we are a special district. I got that. We do not report to the county. However, our major contact for operations should be the CSD, the general manager for the CSD, not the Big Bear Lake city manager. I have no idea why he is on that. And let me finish. And even if, unless you have a mutual aid agreement that I'm not aware of in there, we can't go to the city manager and ask for support unless we go through the county OES system to make sure we get the approvals so that we can be funded for it. So I, you know, what I've done, gone over it and looked at it. I'm going to give my fellow board members copies of what we call the crosswalk for 2020. This document shows everything that must be in an emergency operations plan. Steve, if you could give this blue one to Ryan, they'll pass it over that way. That way, to save paper at the house, I copied on both sides of ours.
Yes, one of these.
He gets the blue one. Yeah.
Just, no, like, just the blue
one. Oh, it's Jesus. Yeah, that Julie brought
this one. Yeah.
And I would just like to make sure that our plan meets the requirements of the state. Because again, if we get caught in a situation where we have to ask for support from other organizations and we don't meet the requirements, and again, I haven't seen the full plan, so I don't know if it does or doesn't, then we're out of pocket. And we cannot, given our budget, afford to be out of pocket. Okay? So if I could ask that the staff review this crosswalk and make sure our plan meets the requirements of this. And if there is assistance that's needed to do that, I am available to work with the staff to come in and sit down and go through all the points. Guys, it's pretty straightforward. If we look through the checklist, it tells us what needs to be in each one of the boxes and how we need to fill it out. Okay? So I think that's critical to us going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Hibbs. Any more comments?
Nope.
I mean, comment, good report, Ryan. I know we have this in existence for a while, right?
It was drafted back in when I first became the manager, so about 2018.
Okay.
Can I have one question? You reference in the summary, Brian, that you're going to delegate, if necessary, delegate who's going to act as the incident coordinator. And it's somewhat confusing, the coordinator to incident commander and bouncing around three or four different titles. So it's really hard to track who's doing what to whom with that. Now, if the plan is for one of the staff members to, in your absence, you're on vacation.
Yeah.
Has our staff been trained in OES, emergency operations and incident command?
Some of them have low level, ICS training. But likely what would happen, like the last incident we just had, it got handed off to somebody with a higher point of authority. So it gets initiated, but the fire department was there, then I showed up, and then I took over as the incident commander of the incident while we had the fire department there, because I specialize in aircraft. So the guys or the staff has taken training and will continue to take training as it comes available, especially through Cal OSHA or FEMA. They have a great, you know, ICS 100, 200 and all that good stuff. And, but they have other pressing items right now that we're trying to get wrapped up, which, you know, you also have to remember that we've had 99% of our staff changed in the last 3 years. So we have been a little bit behind on everything else that we're doing, but, they will, when we have sufficient time, be able to get that training in for that. So we do have an MOU with the City of Big Bear Lake. I have draft ones in here that can be used. And just like this last incident that we had, I needed the City of Big Bear Lake to come. And they came and did their job. They closed the road for me because that airplane ended up in the City of Big Bear Lake's jurisdiction. I can't call county to have them close that area off. So the county came, or the Public Works came, and they closed the road off for me to do what I needed to do there. So we do have a good working relationship. And if an aircraft ends up anywhere in this valley west of the city limits, Eric will be getting my call because I depend on him and his staff to participate for road closures and whatever else. The sheriff department, we don't have a lot of sheriffs up here, and COPs are few and far between. So using the city's materials to close the road is what we did. So that's you have to be able to utilize those different departments within your area to be able to function in a incident like that. Unfortunately, CSD doesn't do public works, so it's not in their jurisdiction unless it crashes into one of their well houses or into one of their, you know, their facilities. It would be County of San Bernardino Public Works that I would have to work with, which again, I have contact to the superintendent if I need, you know, something closed in the unincorporated areas of Big Bear. So
I appreciate that. But see, my concern is this. If it's a non-paid mutual agreement and the mutual aid agreement is not filled out Johnny on the spot, it should be in place long before any event occurs. And if it's a non-paid mutual aid agreement, it's fine. But if it's a paid mutual aid agreement, then we need to reimburse these organizations for their support. Yeah, having them come up and put out road signs is one thing. But if we need their help to have some of their people do some of the workforce, now we've taken on the liability, depending on what that mutual aid agreement says, the liability for the safety and security of those people who are doing the workforce. So that is my concern.
Yeah.
We need to make sure that we follow this plan as outlined by OES, so our rear ends are covered. That's the big thing. And again, Lord help us if something happens on this airport that we are the incident commanders for, and then we have to bring people in to support us, and we don't have this plan in place because we're never going to get reimbursed for it. Okay. Yes, something happens off the airport, there probably will be someone else who's going to be in charge. Mm-hmm. But on this airport, theoretically, we are in charge. So we need to be prepared for it. And we need to have, and I appreciate the hard work and how everybody's been taxed, but, you know, we can't wait until 3 months from now, 6 months from now, to make sure Abby or Patty or the maintenance staff is fully qualified to run an operation there, if it comes down to that.
you know, we need to be make sure on something like this that we're on board, on top of it.
Thank you, Director Hill. Any board comments? Any public comments? Further comments? Thank you, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, staff. Item 10, manager report, pages 41 to 45.
All right. So as all of you know, and those that don't, on December 2nd, we had a Cessna pressurized 210 go off the end of the runway at approximately 1:30 in the afternoon. The airplane was departing the airport and had some type of emergency. He elected to put the aircraft back down on the runway. He did go through the perimeter fence across division and ended up inverted in the Baker Pond Stanfield Marsh area. He was coherent when he got out of the airplane. They put him in an ambulance and took him to the hospital. Later that evening, after we had the staff here recovered the aircraft, I did go to the hospital to meet with him, and he had already been released. Mm-hmm. I met with the FAA last Thursday. I met with the FAA Sunday, the day after the incident. I met with the pilot on Thursday of last week, and then I met with two FAA representatives and the pilot yesterday here on site, and we went and, you know, looked at the airplane and whatnot. So the FAA and the NTSB have the investigation now. NTSB is going to primarily take it and work on getting, you know, either the airplane out of here or cause of the incident. So he's fine. Airplane is total. So Air Methods has moved to its new location. They moved over there on November 28th. Currently the maintenance crew is housed in that building. And with future goal of having the crew in there, so it will really lower their response times. We've had a few little hiccups through this process, but I think we're working out the bugs, and I think it's going to be good for them and for the airport for a long term, because they plan on being here for quite some time. So I'm going to skip over the terminal building, and we'll come back to that at the very, very end. Operational update. So as you'll see on the next page behind my report, I'm going to start adding a operational update for each of the months. So you'll actually see the amount of takeoff and landings that we have. So with our new system that we have here at the airport, I can count all the approaches and departures and the go arounds. It breaks it down by types of aircraft, the busiest day, busiest days on record, VFR, IFR, types of aircraft. So I just thought it would be a little bit more information for the board, so you guys have an idea. We're required by the FAA to count the aircraft, because that's also how we get our funding through grant assurance. So I think it's a nice little tool that we have. So. And then I had a meeting on Wednesday, the 29th of November, with the FAA and Mead and Hunt, who's our planning firm. And we discussed the airport capital improvement program. As you know, that the ACIP has been kind of pushed back over the last 5 to 7 years, because we were trying to get the snow equipment building off. So all our projects that we had there kind of got pushed back. And now that we have that out of the way, we can start to focus on the projects that we had, you know, a long time ago. The issue that we're going to run into is, for the last 20 plus years, the FAA has not increased the amount of money for their ACIP, their Airport Capital Improvement Plan. It's roughly $319 billion. And that's for the entire state of for the entire United States. And there's a portion that's allocated to each sector. Mm-hmm. The problem is that money that's coming to the LA Phys or the LA ADO Airport District Office hasn't changed, just like the other. And the cost of the projects are just going through the roof. So the unfortunate part is airports like ours are going to see the brunt of that, because as project costs go up, the available money is going to go to airports that fulfill the FAA's needs with employments like LAX, Ontario, San Diego, that's within our region. And it's tough. You know, I feel like my early years here, we had an FAA project every year for 15 plus years. And now it's very, very difficult to get money. We have our entitlements that we get from the FAA. We have our bill money, which is was put into place, which is the bipartisan infrastructure bill. But that money can only be used for certain stuff. So our hands are really, really tied for large FAA projects, you know, because of the cost.
So their ACIP program has improved funding or appropriations in quite a while.
No. 20 plus years. And Congress is the ones that appropriates those funds. And just if you just take the amount of money that the FAA gets just from the employments, you know, there was 2,190,000 people that were moved on Thanksgiving Day. If you just take that employment, the amount of money that each one of those people paid, it's an exorbitant amount of money. And they are not even allocating any of that money to go into the ACIP program. So it's very troublesome, you know, and it's general aviation airports are going to struggle. I mean, Big Bear Airport has done a very good job in taking its reserves and putting money aside for potential projects. But when you can't get the FAA to pay their portion, it makes it difficult. And then I don't get state, or the airport doesn't get its state apportionment as well from Caltrans.
Can our local congressman be of help in bringing up some of that?
He's part of the group that puts that money out, because the Congress appropriates those funds, but he's just one of, you know, many that would have to vote to appropriate more funds for ACIP. So, okay. And then the terminal building update. So I wanted to leave that last. So where we are right now is the terminal building is very, very close. We submitted our water quality management plan back a few months ago for review by the environmental group. We got that. They reviewed it last week, and we need some corrections. And basically, the water quality management plan is the percolation tests that we did for our soil stabilization to figure out how we need the water to percolate into the ground. We just need to make a few changes to that. And that should be the last thing that is holding this up, the building, the terminal building. The temporary building, I've received the insignias. Those are on. I have the license plate, for better word, of what is required to be posted on that. We just got an elevation certificate done a couple days ago. I met with the county director of building and safety and some other high-level executives within the county. They came here, explained what I needed, and we, at this point, all they're asking for is an elevation certificate to meet the FEMA requirements. We were able to provide that to them. They're going to review it tomorrow, and I'm hoping that we will hear something by the end of week or next week to give us the go-ahead to start getting our utilities, getting us the permits and whatnot to move forward on that.
So we have the elevation certificate?
Correct. And yes. I emailed that to them actually this morning.
I just have to vet it.
Well, yeah. The FEMA document for an elevation cert is very detailed. It's seven or eight pages, and it's very cumbersome. So The engineer filled everything out. I also sent pictures with it, sent that to the director. And I asked him if there's any more information that you need to be provided, let me know. So I'll find out tomorrow. So hopefully we can get past that. So otherwise we're very, very close. I keep saying it, and I'm just one of these times it's going to happen, I hope. So.
Just a couple, real quick. Appreciate the report on the accident. I would just ask that put us on a group text. And I understand that if a crash is on the airport or off the airport, people are going to be scrambling. But put all the board members on the group text so that if it happens, all you have to do is push one button and say, hey, we had a crash, more to follow later. I mean, Steve called me and asked me about it because his wife heard about it on Facebook. So, you know, it's not a... Your fiancé, your girlfriend.
No, I got married.
Oh, sorry. it is kind of embarrassing to be on the board here and to have someone say, hey, what happened over at the airport? When they find out about it on Facebook. So it shouldn't be that big of a deal to put us on a speed dial, speed text, or something.
Didn't we have something like that before? I know we did.
I always reach out to you guys, but
you got your hands full. Right?
My number one priority is to make sure the scene is safe and controlled. So I did reach out to you. I'm sorry if it wasn't in a timely manner. I'm not going to change the way I do incident responses.
Wouldn't expect
so.
But didn't we before, like I think with Dustin, didn't someone always call us, like Abby or somebody or Diane?
It happened on a Saturday. I had one person in the office. And there's no time. So rest assured, you will be notified, but there are priorities that have to take place.
100%.
So
news travels like
light. That's the unfortunate part.
Yeah.
High speeds before they're even there.
Exactly. We had tenants helping out the office for phone calls because it happened that fast. Wow. We had a tenant come in that needed a gate card issue. The airplane crashed. And then, so it's very dynamic. So it's, you will be notified as quickly as possible. I don't think it was more than 45 minutes after the accident. So.
Well, I still say let's figure out how to put it on a text, a 2-second text. I appreciate the urgency of it, but if we have additional staff here in the office, they should be able to do that without a whole lot of effort. It's good to hear we're making progress on the building. I like so that we're there. I would ask on that on the operations report, Ryan, to give a lot of good information there. Could you put year-to-date totals on it, for so we can see how we're doing? I know you do have the one chart that talks about landing and takeoff by month, but
that'll be another. It'll be a whole separate report. I can't add it to this. So, it'll just be another page.
That's so. Fine. Just so we know how we're doing
throughout
the year. Unleaded gas. Have you had any chance to start thinking about what we're going to do with the unleaded gas madness? I know in LA County, they're already starting to push Whiteman Airport, and I think Van Nuys Airport's being pushed to start coming up with the tanking needed in the facilities for unleaded aviation gas. So we might want to start thinking about how we're going to deal with that when that, because knowing the way ARPA and all these other environmentalist groups out here working in Southern California, one day we'll be okay, and next day we'll have people screaming, why are we still using lighted gasoline at that time? So if we can make sure we get on board on that, I think that would be pretty smart for us. One last question, maybe Abby can answer this one. How are we doing as far as income is concerned this year versus last year? You know, when I look at our gas sales, we're up about 274,000, I think, if I read it right, somewhere around there, based on this number. How does that compare to that? So just
off the top of my head, I'm not sure, but I can definitely look into that before next meeting and report back.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Just so we can figure out
fuel sales.
We're going in the right direction.
Okay.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Director. Any other comments?
I'd like to ask Brian, or anybody can get an answer. What's going to happen to the building that Air Methods is in now?
Well, I don't see it happening, them moving out for probably at least maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years. So, yeah, it's not going to happen quickly.
For the crew.
So the crew is going to stay in that building for some time. The Civil Air Patrol still has use of that building, and so does Mountain Mutual Aid. That is our EOC. So in the event there's a problem or we have an incident, that building does get turned into the Emergency Operations Center. So, after that, I don't know.
Thank you. I'm just curious. Yeah.
Any public comments? Just a question about the operations chart. 52 boil rounds?
Yeah, I was looking at that.
10% of boil rounds.
You know how squirrely it is here.
That's an amazing number.
You don't realize how many that it actually happens until you see it. But, you know, when the winds are pretty out of the south there, it does get a little sporty.
Just seemed like a big number.
Yep.
One quick question. Was that a G5 that was in here a couple weeks ago? Or was it
Challenger?
Was it Challenger that was here?
I think it was a 600.
Wow.
Yeah, Challenger 600.
Just a question for Ryan. How do you observe and keep track of aircraft that are coming in and going out without having somebody write it there? Is there a...
So we actually have a system here at the airport. There's an antenna that is attached to the top of the building here, and it counts airplanes. So granted, this number could be skewed by a percentage or two if you don't have a transponder. But if you have a transponder, no matter if it's mode C or mode S, you just turn it on alt, it picks it up. But it gives you, it really gives you everything about that airplane. It tells you the direction, speeds, lat and long. And it's really, I got it for accident investigations. It records all of the communications from Unicom to the pilots. It does noise complaints. I mean, it's very, very sophisticated, and it has helped in the last two airplane crashes. It has helped a lot with data for the NTSB. Because ADS-B does not work in Big Bear below 7,800 feet. So once you drop below the ridge, you fall off a radar. So the ADS-B that the FAA usually uses to help with accident investigations is not there. So this is kind of helps with that.
That was going to be my question. Thank you.
It's bogged down electronic.
Well, I was going to ask that. And then also it's like, so how does that thing, does it spit out these reports, or how do you get the data?
It spits it out.
Automatically.
Yeah. You just put the times in what you want. So as you can see, it's from the October to the November board meeting. And then next month, you'll see November to December.
That's very useful. And I think the go-arounds, a lot of those could be training, maybe.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You also have to remember, we have the RNAV GPS approach to runway 26. And so if we're on runway 8, they'll do the missed approach. And then,
that's, thank you very much. Good help. Okay, item number 11, committee reports. Brian. Item 12, the record of comments. Director Hicks?
No, I made all the comments.
I think that Ryan and the staff really put this emergency plan together, did an excellent job. It's very, very well done. Thank you.
Director Seaver.
Yeah, good job on all of this. And public, thank you for being here. We appreciate your attending.
Yeah.
Only listen, but same thing. A great job on that report. And thank Director Hicks for putting a keen eye on it and giving us a new report. And we need to get together and mesh the two to see where it needs any tweaking or nothing. So thank you. Thank you, the gentlemen, folks in the audience. And thank you, staff. And wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Look forward to the party tomorrow night. It should be fun.
All right.
Item 13, future agenda items. Item 14, next meeting date.
Oh, wait, before we go to the top of that, we had talked about at some point getting together to decide on us going out and speaking to the public. There was a Ryan had made a suggestion that that's a decision that we have to make.
So right.
We have to figure out when we're going to get together to do that.
The one that we're going to do, we're going to do like a workshop, right?
Yeah. So we were given direction that you guys would talk and let us know. And then we want to make sure we don't, you know, we follow the Brown Act. So it needs to be an agendized a meeting and all that kind of stuff. But I thought, yeah, you guys were going to work together on getting us a date.
So we should get together and pick a date first. We did have a consensus, if I remember correctly, that we would have.
Yeah. Well, we can't get together this date, but why don't you worry about the dates?
Yeah, we'll get some dates and then we'll put it on the agenda.
Preferably after January, if that would be good.
No.
Okay, next meeting, item 14, next meeting day, Wednesday, January 10th, 2023 at 4 p.m., 2024. You're right. Good catch, Jack.
Don't have a heart attack.
She just did. Did you hear that?
I'm sorry.
Good catch. Regular Board of Directors meeting. Location is right here, the Terminal Hill West Wing Boardroom. Item 15 will adjourn today's meeting December 13th at 4:54 p.m. Thank you, everybody. Happy holidays.